presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web
from a padded room in his basement,
alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Oh yeah, and welcome, one and all. Wherever in the world you are, whatever you're doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy Yuletide holiday schedule to get caught up on everything that is Viking basketball. Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, I'm Carl Knox. The podcast presented by McDonald's, McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Well, Coach, we're taping this. I got to get this in, you know.
Got to get it in. Yes, yes.
Or we get in big, big trouble. Taping this extravaganza on Monday afternoon, December the 26th. You know, that's normally, most people have today off.
Yes.
They, because Christmas fell on a Sunday this year, schools, most businesses, everything's closed. Most people are enjoying time with family and friends, which you and I don't have a lot of friends, but we do have some family. But nonetheless, you know, they're off. But are we off? No, we're not.
My wife's off today. She's getting to enjoy it with the kids at home.
Is that why you're looking at your phone? Because she's starting to text you. When are you coming home?
No.
So how was Christmas in the Coles household?
It was good. It was good. We had a great Christmas. It was nice spending time with the kids and the family. And we're like most families. When you have kids, we're busy. You know, we're hopping around from one house to another. And kids enjoyed it.
And your boys are probably the primo age. What, Brevin's 8 or 9?
Brevin's 9. Brogan's 5.
So you're right in the height of that Santa Claus thing, and I'm sure you probably, you know, spent some time assembling toys.
Oh, yeah. And what's getting bad, I'll tell you what's bad, is
the containers.
Anything that's technological now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brevin, one of his grandparents got him an Xbox, okay, which we don't really have video games at our house, but, you know, we tell the grandparents, hey, if you want to let them play them out there, that's fine.
Right.
So they got him an Xbox, and I went to set it up. I mean, when we were kids, if you got a Nintendo, you just plugged it in.
It's like 3 plugs and you're ready to go.
Yeah. This thing, you got to fill out like a W-9 and put your blood test. And I mean, it's what it felt like. I mean, it was like, it took me an hour to set the thing up, email addresses. And
You wait. I mean, it's just a matter of years. And Brevin, very highly intelligent kid, takes after his mom. But my daughter now knows. First thing Saturday morning, we got our new cell phone. Have you been to like an AT&T store?
I got my wife a new cell phone. It took me 2 hours.
It's like buying a freaking car.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice people and everything. You got to walk in. We get there right at 9 o'clock thinking that they're going to be busy. So we get out of bed early Saturday morning to run to Chillicothe. And we get there as they're turning the lights on. And we were 6 deep.
Daggone.
I mean, they're that busy. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is what we want. Get her a case. We were hour and a half. Then we went to breakfast. And as we were coming out, I thought there was going to be a road rage incident. Because I hear, I'm just trying to get back out on 35, come home. And I see out of my rearview mirror, I'm hearing this honking.
Oh, yeah.
And the hands waving. I'm thinking, man, who is this jerk behind me? And what is in the other lane? Did I do something to tick him off? And lo and behold, it's one coach, Matt Coles, and the
You're used to seeing me in the nicer car, the 01 Altima. And
I'm not really accustomed to seeing you in a vehicle manufactured after the year 2010. That doesn't happen very often.
It just doesn't look right.
No. So you'd had the family at the IHOP.
Yeah.
We chose Bob Evans. But everything went well. Christmas
was
good.
Yeah, it was great.
No big fights?
No, it was fun. It was fun.
So. I just didn't know if... Did the
Ninja? Is that, was the ninja theme with Brogy? Was that part of the holiday, or did we?
He didn't get any ninja stuff. He was more into some other stuff like remote control cars and dinosaurs and stuff like
that. That's cool. Remote control. That's nothing like banging up the woodwork in the kitchen. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Well, we got basketball to talk about. Glad you had a good holiday. We're taping this, again, in case you didn't catch it the first time, December the 26th, 2016. It's episode number 67, Coach.
Yeah.
67. So next week, that would be 68. And then in 2 weeks, episode number 69.
Yes.
That's a milestone. All right. You're being quiet. What's that look on your face?
Just letting you do your thing.
Hey, you know, I just.
You're running this show.
No. This is the Matt Combs podcast. Super coach.
Yeah, that would be a train wreck if that were the case.
No, you guys are 6-0. That's good.
Yes.
Off to a 6-0 start. We do have a couple games to talk about. And then later in the podcast, our guests this week are going to be a couple players.
Yeah, we got, Nalen and
Derek.
Derek.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a chance to talk with them. And, you always find a few guys that like to talk, a few guys that don't. So I think those two don't mind it.
Well, we're not done with this. We're going to, throughout the season, sprinkle in more interviews with the kids. We've had a lot of coaches, a lot of people from outside the program, but, you know, to highlight the kids, and that's really what it's all about. We're trying to get some other ones. Now, Tristan, we're working on Tristan Bartow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, it's a work in progress.
Yeah,
you'll hear a lot about Tristan in the interviews from Derek and Nalen.
That'll be good.
Do they ever call him Sweet Tea anymore? Do you remember the convo?
That's no, I don't know. I'm sure our team. It's hard to be telling what they call each other when I'm not around. So
true. They get along great, but man,
they like to mess with each other, though.
Yeah, it's a constant. I don't know how to put it. Psycho fest with those guys. But no, I just when he got nicknamed at the combo suite, I thought if you know anything about Tristan, there's nothing Sweet and Tea about. I mean,
we never let it, we went a long time without letting him live that down. I don't know if they're still doing it or not.
He didn't like that.
No, he didn't like us ribbing him about it. But
okay, well, we'll try to get Tristan Sweet Tea Bartow. My body's rabbit at the fair.
Yeah,
you remember that? You were in the hospital.
Yeah,
I was texting you, and you're like, why are you buying his rabbit?
Yeah.
It's because I wanted a Sweet Tea Bunny. I was going to name it Lipton.
Yes.
Anyhow, we get along with games in the past week. This past Tuesday night on December the 20th, you guys hosted the River Valley Raiders at home in a triple header, and the varsity extended their record to 5-0 with a nice 87-68 win. Gave up a lot of points that night. I mean, a win's a win.
No, but you're right. Well, we did, and I tell you, River Valley came out and shot the ball pretty well in that first quarter. I think we won that first quarter 17-14, and they shot the ball. I thought they really shot it well, made a couple threes.
Yeah.
And then I thought our defense was pretty good in the middle two quarters. I think right around the end of the third quarter, it was like 70-40-ish, something like that. So I thought our defense shored up a little bit. A lot goes into that. Obviously it's nice at the end of a game to be able to say, hey, we only gave up this many points or whatever. But at the same time, you got to keep big picture in mind. We had a chance to play our subs that night, give them a lot of minutes. We also worked on some things. You know, we hadn't had a chance yet this season to work on our pressure, to work on zone. You know, so it was a night we could do that. We were able to mix those things in a little bit and just get some game practice at those. Because you practice in practice every day, you practice things, but then – until you really do them in a game, it's not as realistic. And so we needed some game reps. And so I thought it was a productive night. We got a lot in. A lot of kids played. I think almost everybody, most kids scored, if I remember right. And,
yes.
And it was just, you know, anytime you get to do that and get a win, that's a good night.
For the Vikings, Nalen Yates leads all scorers with 23 points. He had 7 3-point field goals. I think he was only one from tying the record set by Ryan Stewart.
Yeah.
Back, 2006, 7, 8, somewhere in there?
8.
Yeah.
And he had some looks at it. You know, he got a couple looks there. And then, of course,
a lot of looks.
Of course, you know, we had him out we had him out 2 minutes into the fourth quarter too. It was one of those nights, but he did get some he did get a couple chances at it there late.
Did you even was it even remotely
running? I don't even know that he knew. I mean, did we you obviously know? No, I did not know until right at the end when one of my assistants said something about, man, he's got to have 6 or 7 threes, and then it kind of crawled. But, I mean, by that point, we're getting ready to sub. But yeah, no, I doubt he knew, you know, because he looked like he was just in his normal flow out there, just shooting it when he was open. But no, you know, he was close to that. The other thing we had that night was Tristan Bartow.
10 assists.
Finished the game with 10 assists, which is one short of the school record of 11, I think. Andy Grillo holds that, along with maybe Andy Booth. I think there might be two people.
I think Andy Booth and, yeah, both of them have 11.
Have 11, and Tristan had 10 that night, and Jake Speakman had 7. We had 20-some assists that night. I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah. You know? For Vinton County, like you said, Tristan had 16 points, 10 assists, 4 boards, 3 steals. Derek has 12 points, 4 assists, 8 boards. Derek's turning into a really sneaky good rebounder.
He's as good a rebounding guard as I've ever coached, I've had some good ones. He rebounds it really well.
Jake Speakman has 10 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. Bryce Dammer has 6 points, 5 boards. Eli Griffith in double figures with 10 points, 4 blocks, and 3 boards. Then we got Nevin Yates, Kurt Vickers with 4 points each, and Anthony Mendez with 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, you went deep into the bench. And like you said, as far as playing some zone and really getting after the pressure, you're really not – correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as really throwing out a full court press, that's early in the season. That's not been something that I've seen you really get into yet. So I'm taking it.
It's not our bread and butter. You know, I mean, we don't press. That's not what we do, you know, as a norm, but you have to have things like that in, because there's going to be situations where you need it. We don't play a lot of zone, but there's going to be situations where you need it. And, unfortunately, like you say, it's hard to work on those things if you're not, because early in a game you sort of do what you do. We've been fortunate by the end of games to have some sizable leads, which you look like a kind of a bad guy if you press in those spots. So you have to find some time to work that stuff in, and we so that was a good night. We were able to do that.
I'm gonna say this, because I watched the tape and I noticed this, and maybe it's something that has no bearing at all, and I'm not trying to throw darts at River Valley or anything, but I did notice late in the game, and again, they got a first-year coach. That program has been through a lot of coaches over the years, and they were pressing you guys.
Right.
And the game was out of reach. As a coach, and again, when you say these things, you got to be able to put yourself in their shoes, because they're trying to do what you're doing. Obviously, you had the game well in control. You're bringing in your subs. Do you take offense to that, or do you just say, hey, that's part of the game? He can do whatever he wants.
Well, it's tough. I mean, it is kind of part of the game, and you basically – I've always kind of tried to take the approach, you know, look, that's his team. What he does, you know, is his thing. You know me well enough to know I'm not usually one to get bent out of shape when I've been on the other end. You know, if we've gotten blown out, you usually hear me say, well, that coach kept his starters in too long. I mean, it's our fault that we got blown out, not his. You know, in that situation. Well, but at the same time, yeah, it's tough. What makes it tough on you is when you sub and you put your subs in, I don't really care when the other team keeps their starters in. That's their own thing. What's tough is if you see starters pressing your subs, because your subs aren't capable of handling that, probably. You know what I mean? And you're sort of calling the dogs off, and you throw it in there, and then they're pressing your subs, and your subs are sort of embarrassed because they're kicking the ball around. And
probably the last thing you want to do, not the last thing, but something you don't go into it with the thought of, I'm going to put my subs in, let them get, you know, work the rest of the game. And then all of a sudden you're looking at your starters saying, okay, get back in there.
Yeah, no, you never want to do that, because when that game the other night, the odd situation was it was 80-62 with about 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'd already had my bench completely cleared. So at that point, you know, we were going to have to, you know, that sounds like a big lead, but if, you know, they start pressing, causing turnovers against my subs and cut that lead, then I got to put my starters back in, you know, and I don't want to do that. Fortunately, our guys were able to hang in there and hold the lead, you know, but people have different philosophies on it. And I'm not really bitter about anything, because like you said, he's trying to build a program. You know, he and I talked before the game, and he's working with his youth basketball, his peewee program. And I remember those, you know, I mean, I fortunately have always had Bob doing the youth league here, but I remember the days when I first started here and you feel like I've got to have a hand in my freshman team, my JV team, my varsity team, my youth program. Right. You know, you feel like you're trying to build a whole program and it's overwhelming. So obviously he's trying to do things to get ready for his next game and build for his team. So, you know what, at the end of the day, coach your team. I'll coach mine. It doesn't bother me that much. You know, I'm glad I didn't have to put the starters back in. I didn't want an injury. I didn't want to, you know, so, but yeah, it's funny you ask that. That's a topic that could be debated probably for a half hour, you know, if you had the right guy, because it is I think every coach has a different opinion on it.
Well, and the one thing I've noticed just overwhelmingly being around, you know, coaches for what the past 10, 15 years right. that I've kind of been back into the media with the high school thing. Most all of you guys are very low-key, non-competitive. And to that point, you know, not just do I see that from you as a coach, but on the golf course, you're even more gracious.
Oh, yeah. And very laid back.
I've never heard a swear word.
Always handle... You know, poor shots. Well, you know,
You just lose control of your filters. Well, there are no filters with you. I've never seen a.
I've turned over a new leaf.
No, you have. You're. It's kind of boring, but you're a lot less.
I've already prepared myself for how bad my game's going to be. I didn't play golf all summer.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a mess. I'm looking forward to playing golf, but it's going to be ugly.
And you don't take ugly very well. There might be a couple drivers whirly bird down the fairway. Yeah. I remember the one time you got one stuck in a pine tree when your back was, it was at the VA.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, your back was out and you were running all day. And it was Tim Daly was with us.
It wasn't even about my golf game. I was in pain then, yeah.
Yeah, but the funny thing was is you
had to get the chiropractor straight.
Normally, we play the VA. That's a feel-good round. That's a, you know, you can spray it anywhere and shoot 75. And you were struggling. Oh. And, of course, Daly, not one to hold back anything.
He's like, And he
just egged it on. And I remember we thought the driver was going to stay in the top of the pine tree, but after about 30 seconds, it did come back down. With some sap on you. You had sap on your grips,
like Christmas
man.
Vacation.
There you go. This past Friday night, December the 23rd, up at Zane Trace for a triple header as you kind of get into your SVC non-conference spin of the year. You guys take care of the Pioneers 79-49. Strong game by Tristan Bartow as he leads all scorers with 27.6 boards, 3 steals, and 2 assists. Nalen Yates, 13 points, 3 steals, 2 assists. Derek Jones has 10 with 6 boards, 6 assists, and 3 steals. Bryce Dameron has 5. Jake Speakman with 6. Anthony Mendez with 4. And Cameron Hammond, Eli Griffith, Seth Bledsoe, and Curtis Vickers all have 2 apiece for the Vikings. Watch that game on tape. Really a game that you guys really had in control, you know, the whole way. Jumped out to a 20-8 first quarter lead. Had it to 14-22 at the break. And then you come out and score them 24-10 through the third quarter. So sounds like a game that we texted each other. I'm kind of worried about the notorious trap game.
No, yeah. Well, over break, you know, that's as a coach, that's what I worry about. Not only are you on the road against a solid team, you know, you're out of rhythm. You know, you're not going to school. You're laying around. And we brought the kids in for a shoot around that morning, try to get them out of bed. But you just never know how kids are going to react. Because quite frankly, I thought our freshman and JV teams were a little flat the other night.
Right.
And took some on the chin. But our varsity kids, give them credit. They're ready to go. They've answered the bell. You know, this group's usually ready to play. I hate to say that, knock on wood, but it seems like they've come out game after game ready to go. They just really love to compete, love to play, and that always helps. But, yeah, we got off to a good start again defensively, I thought. I mean, I think that's the key to us is defense is because, you know, we are blessed with some guys that can score, but we don't want to get in situations where we're just having to outscore somebody or being a shootout. We want to defend. And we gave up, I think you said, 8 points in that first quarter, and it was It was, you know, anytime you do that, we're going to be in pretty good shape. So I was really pleased with the defensive effort.
A couple of stats that jump out to me with the Zane Trace games. You had 12 points in transition to only four for Zane Trace, and then you had 15 points off turnovers to only nine for them. So those two stats right there kind of throw out to your point that defensively you're – and I know, and I thought about this, and we kind of talked a little bit, but I'm going to throw out – a very, this is like right out of Magic Johnson's mouth. This is the stupid cliche question, but I think you know where I'm going with it. When you have a team that experiences early success, and again, it's a 22 game regular season schedule, you know there's going to be nights, you're dealing with kids.
Yeah,
and you can yell and scream and preach all you want, but what's actually registering at a point in time of the season like this, whether it's this group or all the other groups you've coached over the years, is each team different in trying to get your point across to make sure they're ready?
Yeah.
Or do you do the same thing? I mean, how do you cope with it? I mean, it's a good problem to have, but
oh, each team's definitely different. Because each team has its own set of issues. I remember a few years ago, two or three years ago, maybe, we had a team that just could not get off to good starts. Our first quarters were terrible. So we started in practice. We started every day just playing the first quarter. We'd literally stretch, have a jump ball, play one quarter of basketball, mm-hmm. and then start practice. Just trying to get them used to, hey, come out of the locker room, stretch, go through warm-ups. We'd go through warm-ups first. We'd do it just like a game, and then play your first quarter. Now, this team here, they start really well typically. So, you know, it's different. I mean,
the second quarter's kind of been this team's name.
Yeah, so, I mean, what we do is – well, and you know we like to play a fast brand of basketball, up-tempo, we get up and down. So our practices, you know, are shorter in length but fast. You know, today we went an hour and 15 minutes, but it was nonstop, hour and 15 minutes, just as fast as you could go. Even in, like, just shooting drills, we do everything full court. We do, you know, we try to. And so you have to coach, I guess, to answer your question. What I'm trying to do is answer your question. We've got to coach to your team how you play. You know, I mean, what your style is, like you said, what are their weaknesses? What do they typically have trouble with? So, yeah, it's different for every team.
Well, I mean, thinking back, I know, and I'm not going to mention names, there was one year we had some characters. We had some rough characters that honestly you kind of just, in the back of your mind, you were hoping we got through the game without one of these kids being ejected. Or getting I mean, they had an edge.
What
team I'm talking
they
about.
They competed hard. Yeah.
And then we had another team that ended up being, well, after I think 09, 010, whatever, we had a team that I remember you specifically saying, there's not a kid on this team I would not want to date my daughter if I had one. But to that point, when the adversity hit, they just kind of curled up in a ball and they weren't what I call mentally real tough.
Right.
So, with all that being said, you know, I guess it is.
It's a juggling thing. I mean, you're just basically trying to figure out, every coach has to do it, because in high school, you don't recruit to your, you know, like in college, you recruit your type of players that you want in your program. In high school, you're going to deal with a bunch of different personalities, different skill levels. And I think that's what makes coaching high school challenging and in its own way fun, because you never have the same thing twice, it seems like, you know.
No. Well, speaking of players, and I know you haven't heard this. It's already in the can, so you're going to have to actually listen this week to the podcast,
because
I spend a lot of time banging on you. Talking about players, two of your better players, not just on the court but off the court, guards Derrick Jones and Nalen Yates. We'll spend a little time with them in the gym as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on.
All right, we're here at Viking practice, courtside conversations. Got Junior, right?
Junior, yes.
Junior, Nalen Yates.
How you doing, Nalen?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Have a good Christmas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did Coach Combs get the team for Christmas?
Hopefully an easy practice today.
No, he said,
he said
you're going to go hard and fast.
I figured he would.
So that's it. That's you guys give him a 6-0 start.
Yeah.
And you get
you're getting a hard and fast.
That's right.
You'll burn off all the calories you took in yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, by the way, nice game, River Valley last week.
Thank you.
You had six or seven threes.
Seven. I might have shot too many times. I think I. Yeah.
Why did they give you a nice article in the Jackson newspaper? That picture actually resembled a lot, looked a lot like your younger brother, Nev.
Yeah, it was my younger brother.
Oh, okay, well, I have that. Anyhow, I've got some quick questions for you. Trying to get our fans, they want to hear from players, stuff like that. Hang on just a second. Which player on the team talks the most trash during practice?
During practice, well, the same during game too. Probably Tristan Marte, one of the quietest guys, is probably the biggest trash talker.
Really,
kind of funny, ironically.
Because every time he sees me or anyone in the media, he like runs.
Yeah,
he's actually, you guys are warming up before practice, but he is the biggest.
Well,
trash
look at him over there right now. He's talking trash to Bryce as we're shooting. Yeah, he's the biggest trash talker.
Well, Bryce could break him over.
Oh
his
yeah,
leg
oh yeah.
Wig. Have you ever wanted to throw a ball at one of the coaches during practice?
No, but some guys, Pike gets the ball to 9-11 once in a while, like Tristan.
You don't throw it at Coach Combs.
No, I never do that.
Okay, eating contest. Coach Combs or Bryce, who do you got?
Well, I say Bryce. I watched him put down a 5-pound burger in North Carolina this year after our football camp in like 20 minutes.
5 pounds?
5 pounds. 5 pounds, 20 minutes. Huge burger. I heard Combs can do some crazy things like that, too.
Yeah, he can, but I don't know. He's watching his figure right now. What do you plan? I know you're a junior.
Mm-hmm.
As far as athletically, you have great year as quarterback for the football program. What are you thinking about after graduation? As far as what you want to study?
I want to study civil engineering most likely, but it's probably gonna be football. That's what I want to play in college.
Right.
But you know, the best opportunity that presents itself is what I'm gonna take. So if it's basketball or football, you know.
Have you had anyone contact you? I'm sure you get tons of mail.
Yeah, Austin University definitely has. They came to the school the other day and talked to me. And Darren Perry. Darren Perry just got offered by Morehead State, which is good.
Now, Ashland is a D2?
D2, yeah.
Okay. Most nervous you've been as a basketball player playing for Bay County? A game?
I'd say last year in the convo against Unioto, and I came off the bench and I don't know. I was nervous just because it's a huge game and we were down, and then
right. And
having to play the way I did. I mean, I was nervous. It was
first time. I'm sure as a little kid, you know, you go over there and watch Benton County play at the convo, and you're like, "Oh, that's cool."
Yeah,
probably a pretty intimidating deal the first time you walk through the bottom tunnel.
Oh, it's crazy! You're crazy looking up, and the way the lights are almost
blind.
Almost can't see the people, you know, but. When we were playing, I just drowned it. I didn't even hear anybody. But after that game, just looking up and seeing all the people there, it was crazy. A great atmosphere to play in. It was awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to let you get loosened up here before that. I think maybe I talk Coach into maybe a 3-hour practice if you really want to go that way.
Might as well.
Okay. Thanks, Nayland.
Thank you.
Anyhow, we're here with Derrick Jones, senior guard for Benton County. How many years you played varsity? 4 years?
I set varsity in my freshman year, but okay. I played a little bit.
And this is your third year starting varsity. You guys are off to a nice 6-0 start. I asked Nayland Yates, I'm going to ask you this because I think I know the answer. Of all your teammates, who talks the most trash on the team?
Oh, it's definitely Tristan.
But wait a second, everyone says Tristan's real quiet.
Yeah, that's what they think, but it's definitely not him.
Now, a lot of people may not know. You and Tristan are both Zaleski kids. You guys like grew up not far from each other, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you have literally played ball with Tristan since what? You were 4 or 5?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing there's been some fist fights over the years.
Oh, definitely. Oh. Well, yeah, I remember one time in Open Gym, Combs had to tell us to stop because we were getting into it so much.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's usually the instigator.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm guessing the fact that you guys are as much like brothers, friends, he probably knows how to pull your strength.
Oh, yeah. He definitely does.
Well, anyhow, your senior year, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you've come a long, long ways. We're going to miss you next year. But what are you looking at? I know your GPA, you're in the top 10 senior class easily, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are you looking at after graduation as far as education or maybe plan the next level?
I'm definitely going to college. And I'm not really sure where I'm playing at. I got two offers right now.
Where at?
Otterbein and Earlham. But they're D3, and that's not really what I'm looking at, what I want.
Well, Otterbein. Where was he at? Otterbein and where else?
Earlham. That's Indiana.
That's nice. Coach N.J. Kite, who's under the weather, just walked in. Now, this is the kind of stuff. The entire team, while shooting, just started throwing balls at Coach Kite. Coach? Carl Knox, Viking Normal Podcast. I understand you're a little under the weather. What was it? Can I get a comment about, there's still looked like 13 balls that just came sailing your way as you walked down.
Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be a no comment.
No comment.
Okay. Well, back to you, Derek. At any rate, what do you want to study? I mean, regardless of where you end up playing.
I was thinking about maybe occupational therapy, some kind of therapy maybe.
Like something in the health services field, physical therapy. Okay. One big question we get into a lot as far as like Combs and I playing golf and going on golf trips. But you know he had to screw that whole thing up this summer because he decided to get sick. But anyhow, that's another story. He's a big eater. Coach Combs, Bryce Damon, in an eating contest. Who do you got?
Oh, that's Combs.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You've been around long enough. You've seen Combs.
Yeah, I remember we were at the Mongolian Grill. He probably had at least 10 plates easy.
Yeah.
I mean, they were full, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of restaurants, especially buffets. Yeah. I think they get hurt a little bit. Most nervous you've been in a game? I know you've been playing varsity for 3 years, so probably the nerves settled down. But first time you took the court at the combo, would that probably be one of them?
Actually, not when I took the floor. Like, I think the last 2 minutes of the Uniota game.
Yeah.
That was pretty nervous.
Because you guys were hanging on to a lead and they were chipping and stuff. Have you ever wanted to throw a ball at one of your other fellow players or a coach in practice? I just saw everybody on the team throw a ball, the assistant coach. But I know you. I've heard stories, and you made reference to you and Tristan.
Yeah, I've thrown balls at Tristan before.
These practices at times get to be pretty
intense.
Chippy. Now, do you guys still have the, what we call the old timers, the graduates? You probably haven't done that in a while, have you?
No.
Have you ever been in one of those?
No.
Really? They used to do those years ago, like the late practice on Wednesday. They would bring in like Dustin Guthrie, guys that had just graduated. And I think their sole purpose was to try to get under your skin. So, anyhow, I'll let you get back out there on the court. Don't get in any fights, okay?
All right, thanks, man.
Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. I had to bring out some old school.
Oh,
tunes.
Yeah.
This is like in your heyday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, if we would have had iPods back then.
Would you have a cassette player? No, we had CDs back then.
I had an 8-track in my first car.
No way.
77 Caprice, yeah.
A 77 Caprice.
Yeah, keep in mind this was in 1990, so yeah, it had an 8-track in it.
77 Caprice.
Yeah.
I had a 77 4-door bright yellow Chevy Impala.
Ooh. Now, my Caprice got about 8 miles at a gallon, I think, was what about what?
the thing about my Impala was, and that's, you know, that's back when your stereo in your car was, that was it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Cruising, yeah, you know, that's what
you had to have it.
I blew up, and I can't get into this story, but I was on a date, and I was in a hurry to get someplace, and I blew out the transmission in the vehicle, so it needed a new transmission. But when my dad sold it, we got $400 out of the car, and the sound system, which I had paid for by myself, was worth $650.
Nice.
It's not about the look, it's about the sound.
That's right.
There you go. Well, nice little interview there with Derek and Nalen. I'm sure you'll be able to tune into that. Really, there was a ball throwing incident.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. These guys have fun. I'll give them that. But they when practice starts, they go to work. But they like to mess with each other a little bit.
And some of the coaches.
Oh yeah.
There is kind of a brotherly, but they're respectful. Now you're King Kong Daddy. They're scared to death of you.
Kind.
Well, yeah, that's true. but now they do. There's a lot of when the time's right, before, after practice, bus rides, all that. That some of the players on that team and Coach Kite,
yeah,
Coach Carpenter, Coach Albright, Coach Neal, it's almost like they turn into the kids again.
Well, Coach Kite likes to mess with these guys in the hallways.
And they like to mess right back with them.
Yeah, so they give it back to him, too. But, you know, we, in all honesty, one of the big things that we believe in is having fun, man. I mean, I know it sounds like third grade-ish, but the thing of it is, this is a long season. You know, we start this thing in mid-October with conditioning. You hope to play late in the March, if possible.
Right.
And it's a grind. It's a long season. If you're not going to have fun, it's going to be miserable, you know. And we got, these guys know how hard I push them. But so when we're off the court, you got to let them laugh a little bit. You got to joke a little bit. I think that's – I don't think I would coach if it wasn't fun, I'll be honest with you. And we have a lot of fun, so it gets you through it.
Do you think that there's been a change? And, man, I'm sounding old by saying this, but I remember back when I played, back in the 80s, you'd have a lot of these coaches that everything was very, very disciplined, you know.
Yeah.
The way you dressed on game day, you know, everything, haircuts,
right,
all of that. And I've had people say to me that, you know, oh, we think Coach Combs does a great job, but, man, he's too lax with the kids.
Yeah.
And to what you just said, I think your point being is that as long as they get their grades and are well behaved, you know, I'm not, yeah, you're not going to just be.
I just have never believed in, you know, I guess things that are to me parenting issues. I'm not going to tell a kid how to cut his hair unless it's become some really ridiculous distraction. I'm not going to tell a kid what time he has to be in his house the night before a game, because that's not my job.
Right.
You know, I'm not his parent. If he's not smart enough to get in bed at a decent hour and he doesn't care about his team, then that's his thing, you know, and what am I going to do about it? So that's kind of the way we work it, but I think at the same time we have things our kids know that are non-negotiables, and that's the ones we try to focus on.
Felonies, violent crimes.
Yes. Hopefully not that.
Yeah. Just serious things like that. Hair's a non-issue. Unless it gets in the way of your vision.
That's it. I mean, if it's like ridiculous, that's one thing, but
yeah. And do you ever, like, in practice, you ever just, how often do you blow your top in practice and put the kids on the line and run them?
Not much anymore. I think I'm getting too old to have the energy to do it. We get on them at practice. The other day we had a pretty intense, you know, practice. I didn't think they were giving a very good defensive effort. You know, I'll get on them, but, I don't know. If you feel like you have a team that takes it serious and gives effort, then putting them on the line and running is a waste of time. You know, that's an effort issue. As long as they're working hard, if they're not learning something, then you have to figure out a different way to teach it. So, not too much anymore.
Well, and you know, at the end of the day, as long as they're chalking up wins for your career total, that's
as long as they're playing well. I mean, like you say, we've won, but sometimes that can be fool's gold if you're just beating teams that you're better than because you're just sort of better than them. But I think we've actually played well most times this year, you know, so you feel good about that. Hopefully when you get into the meat of your schedule, which we're going to get into here,
yeah,
you know, over the next couple weeks, hopefully that you know, that still bodes well for you.
Well, while we're talking about that, just you say getting into the meat of the schedule, you know, we're going to get right into Southeastern, the game coming up here. But in terms of right after that, you got to make a trip over to Chillicothe in a non-league contest. Chillicothe is only 2-5, and we'll talk about this next week, but they've had a murderous
really
row.
Tough schedule.
Yeah, they played tough.
They're a good basketball team.
Then you got Jackson, which, you know, they're down, but still they're going to give you an effort. Then you got Logan, who's,
and Jackson's way improved too.
Yeah, I mean, they're small, but they shoot the ball well.
They're a lot better than they were last year. Logan's, I think, having a really good year.
You know, didn't
they beat Uniota? They beat Fairfield Union the other night,
right? Which was an upset.
Yeah, Logan has a really good basketball team. A lot of good athletes.
Then you got Megs, who I think is in second place.
They're
right
starting
now
to play better now.
They've dropped like their first three or four.
Yeah, they've won their last three or four. They're starting to get it together.
Then you got Maysville.
Yeah,
I think they're flying in from Eastern Ohio. Then we got Alex, and so yeah, you're getting into that. Before I get to Southeastern, what's your main concern right now about the team?
Probably, you got to get better defensively. That's never going to be good enough for me, especially we had some things the other night against St. Trace where we just didn't do a good job of. We worked on those today at practice a little bit. I think defensively is going to be my driving point. And then also, offensively, I think we do a lot well, but I think just making sure we have balance in terms of inside, outside, we're going to shoot a bunch of threes. We know that. But you got to still have inside presence too and score in there some. So it's really just fine tuning some things and hopefully the focus. Hopefully you don't, get a big head because you're doing well, stay even keel, stay humble. As long as we do that, I feel good about it.
Individually, are you pretty, obviously with your seniors and, particularly Derek and Tristan, they've been on the varsity. They've seen a ton of varsity minutes over the past 3 years. Nayland's really come along. I think you got to be very happy with Eli Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's only a sophomore, and he's a force to be reckoned with. He likes to play at that fast pace for a post player. Bryce, I think, is becoming, he's a different type of player. Obviously, brings to the table a ton of size, but I've noticed his footwork and handwork seem to be getting better as well.
And, the funny thing about Bryce is you would think, they must have to play slower when Bryce in a game. And that's really not true at all because Bryce actually helps us speed up in some ways because, like the other night against Zane Trace, he was able to grab rebounds and throw long outlet passes.
Even though he's
not going to be able to run up and down the floor at the same pace our guards are, him being able to get that ball out fast, we had some breakouts, some easy baskets. He blocks shots, which gets us off and running. He's done a nice job too. Yeah, I'm really pleased individually with the role. You got guys like Antonio Mendez, who's accepted his role of being a defender.
And that's after he didn't play last year.
Yeah, he's really learned quickly and come around. And then you got Caleb going to come back from injury.
Has he been cleared?
He's been cleared to start going through non-contact stuff. And I think he's supposed to go back to the doctor here in a couple of days and be cleared maybe for good. So he's been going through drills that aren't live, all our shooting drills. He's been running up and down the floor. So we're hoping, maybe within
mid-January,
the next three games or so, we can start to see him out there again. That gives us a couple weeks. We got to get him cleared. But that gives us another guy like Antonio, who's a tough, hard-nosed kid that defends. So, I feel good about the guys in terms of them accepting their role and doing that.
Obviously, so, Jake Speakman, which we talked about earlier, that's probably
Jake's been huge. I mean, he had
from where he was at the end of last season to where he is now.
He had seven assists again the other night against Zane Trace, if I remember correctly. So that's back to back games of seven assists. I mean, really creates a lot for us. Helps us play at the pace we want to play.
And I think he's become more mature, relevant to making decisions. Last year, as on the JV level, obviously he's got talent and he works and he loves it. But I would notice like he would take it to the rack when the numbers just weren't there and just kind of, almost like outside court ball. And this year, you can tell he's a much more mature, better decision maker than he was last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's been a real pleasant surprise. And you got a kid like Nevin who obviously, I'm not trying to run down every kid on the team here, but you just keep thinking of guys who play a role for us. I think the last two games, Nevin's made a three, and he hadn't made a three previous to that. He's finally getting his shot back, his rhythm back a little bit, shooting the ball a little bit better. And if that's the case, to have another shooter off the bench just makes us, even more dangerous. So we like to see that.
Well, quickly before we get out of here, you got Southeastern coming over to your place tomorrow night, the 27th. That is a triple header, correct?
Yeah, 5:00 start. I hope people, and I've let Southeastern fans know if any of them listen to this.
The road closing.
The road's closing. It's going to be a little bit tricky. People coming from the west, to here are going to run into that. So you're going to have to go around. But they're going to come over 5:00 start, freshman. Triple header. Hopefully we'll have a big crowd. I was really pleased with our crowd at Zane Trace the other night. I thought that'd be down, night before Christmas Eve. We had a nice crowd. So I'm hoping we have a good home crowd tomorrow as well.
The Panthers overall 3-5 so far this year. They're 1-3 in the SVC. Do have some kids that can stroke at Rex Hartman. He puts up, 7 or 8?
Seven threes
against Jackson. Has 28 points. What else can you tell me about the Panthers?
You know, it's funny. The SVC is sort of Uniota and then a lot of other teams that are very similar.
Right.
And, you know, we've played Piketon and we've played Zane Trace. And the one thing you notice about them and you'll notice about Southeastern is the same thing. They'll have some athletes. They have athletes. They have good, solid-looking kids that can run and jump and play. They're a good, solid basketball team. You know, they've played a tough schedule. Two of their losses are to Miami Trace, Washington Courthouse, two Division II teams on the first weekend of the season.
Right.
New coach, first weekend of the season. So you can't hardly even count those in some ways. And they've been in a lot of close games within that league.
Nice 20-point win over Wellston.
I think, they may have won their last two, right? Wellston and Jackson. So they're starting to play better. You know, anytime you see a new coach, that usually happens about halfway through the season when kids start to kind of get it, the new system or whatever. So we've got to really be concerned about that and be ready. You know, they're going to have guys that can shoot it. The Smith kid's a good athlete. You mentioned Hartman can shoot it. They have a really good athlete. A freshman named Lane Ruby, who some people remember was the quarterback for their football team. Mm-hmm. Very good athletic kid. A big kid inside named Benson. I don't have my paperwork in front of me. Just
Dawson
throwing out names.
Steele's another kid.
Dawson Steele. Yeah, I mean they have some talent, and it's going to be a challenge for us. But you know, hopefully we'll handle it the way we have been handling it in terms of our focus and readiness. You know, that's the thing. Again, off Christmas break, you hope we are. And these kids. They have been so far. So,
well, should be a good good night. Hopefully, a lot of the Viking faithful come out.
Yeah.
I know you've been very, very happy and pleased with the crowd support. I think that anytime you get off to a 6-0 start, you know they come out of the woodwork. But I know that does mean something to you, and I know it especially means a lot to the kids.
Oh, they love it. I mean, you know, you get in front of a big gym, big crowd, and a gym. That's what kids live for, you know. So hopefully we'll pack the place tomorrow night.
Should be a good one. Triple header tomorrow night, the 27th, with the freshmen starting at 5 o'clock. I think we've pretty much covered all the crap we need to cover.
And some extra.
That's what you get for your broadcast.
You get extra crap on this show.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
We don't skimp on the crap, folks. we're big on that.
Yeah.
Because we're professionals. We know what we're doing. So for Coach Matt Combs, the King Crap Master, and I'm Crap Master Junior, Carl Knox. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.